In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, Holy Mother Church resumes the lesson of St. Paul where she left off last Sunday. The spiritual life, which is produced in our souls by the Holy Ghost, in place of the former life of the flesh, this is still the subject of the Apostles' teaching. When the flesh has been subdued, we must take care and not suppose that the structure of our perfection has been completed. Not only must the combat be kept up after the victory, under penalty and risk of losing all that we have won, but we must also be on the watch unless one of the other heads of the triple concupiscence, the lust of the flesh, greed, and the pride of life, take advantage of the soul's efforts, being elsewhere directed to raise itself against us and sting us all the more terribly, because left to do just as it pleases. The Apostle St. Paul warns us today of the vice of vainglory. He does well, for vainglory is, more than other enemies, always in a menacing attitude, ready to infuse its subtle poison, even into acts of humility and penance. Therefore, the Christian who is desirous to serve God and not his own gratification by the virtues he practices must keep up especially active vigilance over this passion. Just think for a moment on the insanity of a man who would be guilty of, who, having had his sentence of death commuted to a severe flogging, would take pride in the stripes left on his body by the whip. May we never fall into this trap of pride. But it would seem, however, as though it were far from being impossible, seeing how the apostle, immediately after telling us to mortify our flesh, bids us to be on our guard against vainglory. Think of the wisdom against vainglory gained by the ancient Israelites and the remedy that God sent them. In the book of Numbers, we see the Israelites complaining of their sufferings in the desert, and the boring monotony of eating the manna dropped from heaven daily by the Lord. In punishment, snakes are sent by God, and the bite of these snakes is extremely painful, filling the victims with a sensation of burning, violent heat. Many of those that are bitten simply succumb to the venom flooding their veins and die. Moses, though praying for them, receives instruction from the Lord and erects a brass serpent upon a pole. The victims of the snake bites receive their healing in gazing upon this brass serpent. And Holy Mother Church is always seen in this historical episode a figure of our Lord, who, being lifted up from the earth, heals and strengthens those who put their trust in him and do not take their eyes off him, even in the midst of suffering. We can see, of course, this layer of meaning as well. It is not in resisting that which causes us pain, but in accepting it and bearing it in a virile, that is, manly manner, after the example of our Lord, that we will ultimately be made stronger and win our spiritual combat. Let us then begin to embrace the cross by means of greater and greater mortification and penance, but at the same time in a spirit of moderation and modesty. In fact, we are not safe on this subject except in as much as the outward humiliation inflicted by us on our body has this for its principle, that our soul should voluntarily humble herself at the sight of her miseries. The ancient philosophers, even the greatest among them, Aristotle, they too had their maxims about the restraint of the senses, but many of them practiced these austerities and allowed it to inflate their pride. It could not have been otherwise, because they were totally devoid of anything like the sentiments which moved our fathers in the faith, who, when they wore sackcloth and ashes and prostrated themselves on the ground, cried out from the heartfelt conviction of the miseries of the human nature, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy, for I was conceived in iniquities, and my sin is ever before me." If, on the contrary, we would have an equally unmistakable sign, which is quite compatible with the obscurities of faith, that we are really in possession of divine union, let us not take occasion from the sight of others' defects and faults to become ourselves puffed up with pride. Rather, from the consideration of our own miseries, let us be indulgent to those around us. If others fall, let us give them a helping and prudent hand, a word of encouragement, prayers said on their behalf. Let us bear one another's burdens along the road of life. And thus, having fulfilled the law of Christ, we shall know that we abide in him and he in us. These most thrilling words, which were made use of by our Lord to express the future intimacy he would have with whoever should eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood in Holy Communion, St. John, who had told them to us, takes them and uses them in his epistles. And let us mark the deep mystery of the application of his application of them. He applies them to whomsoever, in the Holy Ghost, observes the great commandment of loving his neighbor. He will truly be able to be of service to his neighbor, for he will be able to say with our Lord, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.